The following program has been paid for by Vital Ministries of Oskaloosa, Iowa.
Good Sunday morning. This is Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries, and it's good to be with you today as we are a couple of days, few days behind Christmas, looking into the new year. We want to welcome you as there's just a few days left of this December Christmas season. But before we get started this morning, just want to bring you up to date with just a couple things. Just also, too, we send out devotionals. We send them out 6 days a week. Just want to encourage you for your new year. Maybe this something could be a transition for you in 2020 where you can jump on and get Vital Men and Vital Women devotionals. We have five writers for Vital Men. They go Monday through Friday. And then also, too, we have Vital News on Saturday. And then also, too, my wife, she writes for the women. And she sends out that special nugget as well. So just encourage you to go to vitalministries.org. You can check that out and just see what we've got going on there. And it keeps you up to date with the news. And then also, too, at the end of the year, as always, as a 501, we could sure use your donations or your gifting. So be prayerfully, think about that as we end the year of 2019 and look to 2020. Obviously, we want you to give to your church first, always. But if you have a little extra that you've been looking for a ministry, we would love for you to help us out as we go into 2020. But again, as you're traveling down the highway today, you might be traveling to different locations, maybe coming from Christmas or headed to a Christmas outing as this is Christmas week and we head to the new year. Encourage you to travel safe and watch your way. Many of you have expressed to me as you travel, you're on your way to your church. We just want to thank you for tuning in and listening to KBOE 104.9 FM on your radio. And then also to maybe you're at home today. This is your church time. We want to thank you again for listening and making us part of your Sunday morning, and we just thank you so much for that. But today we're talking about we're closing our end of our teaching series, and too busy for Christmas. Christmas is now past, and the new year days are essentially before us. Like most Christmas seasons, it comes to an end earlier and comes early and disappears quickly. I reflect with you this morning a Christmas season that stayed at least through January. My mom, she was always hold on to Christmas, and the tree would stand until the needles would literally start falling off the tree. We'd continue to eat Christmas cookies and candies through the month of January, and we would just enjoy that Christmas season. My mother, she loved Christmas, and she loved the birth of Christ. Today, I want to reflect on Christ's birth for one more Sunday. And as he came into this earth, being born into a stable, and more accurately, into a cave place with animals in a trough. After that beautiful night of our Savior's birth, his mom and his father, they traveled to Jerusalem to be circumcised at a temple that usually would be taking place 8 days after the child would be born. Circumcision was required by the law of Moses according to Leviticus 12, 2 through 6. That was the reason why they traveled to Jerusalem. But today at the temple, they'll receive a prophecy that was given of salvation. Now let's look at what biblical prophecy means. A biblical prophecy is only true when it's God-breathed, coming from God or the Holy Spirit. It's divine revelation. And today we're going to look at a prophecy that was given by the name of Simeon. He was a remnant group of people who believed the Messiah would come in the form of a baby, and he would see his salvation, the prophecy of salvation for him and for all of us today, through what he spoke into being as the prophecy would happen. But today I got a special guest with us today, one of our writers who writes on Friday, and he's with us today, Scott Pace. Welcome this morning.
Good morning, Mike.
It's good to have you here today.
It's good to be here.
Yeah, it's just a great time. Just an opportunity with Scott as he writes on Friday. I'll never forget one of the devotions you wrote was at 12,000 feet.
Yeah, just that. Yeah, this last fall.
This last fall, and you were hunting elk.
I was, yeah.
Yes.
I was in Utah.
Just a great time. And I know a lot of you guys out there that enjoy the side of devotionals that lean into hunting and the different things that go on. Scott just does a beautiful job for us and applying that to life, and just does really, really good. But today we're going to look at Simeon's life. And we're also going to talk about your life as well, Scott. Things that have occurred just most recently. But before we get into that, I want to open up with the text that we're going to look at. If you're at home today, we're going to be looking at Luke chapter 2, 25 through 28. And we're going to look at this man, Simeon. Get a glimpse of his life. And starting with verse 25 out of the NLT, it says this: "At that time, there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. He was righteous and devout and was eagerly waiting for the Messiah to come and to rescue Israel. The Holy Spirit was upon him, and he had revealed to him that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. That day the Spirit led him to the temple, so when Mary and Joseph came to present the baby Jesus to the Lord, as the law required, Simeon was there, and he took the child in his arms and started praising God." Now, Scott, I want you to share a little bit about your story, about what has recently happened, and touch on a life of we're going to look at what it means to be living a righteous life and what it means to have a devout dedication to Christ. But share with us a little bit this morning your journey. Most recently, you have not been out of Iowa City hospitals very long.
No.
But share a little bit about your journey and tell us what happened and how God has given you virtually new life that was given from another man.
Sure.
Yeah.
It started in 2012. I was diagnosed with an autoimmune disease that was attacking my kidneys. And my doctors were really effective in getting that set in remission. Yes. And they did so a couple times. But I ended up relapsing. I relapsed three times. And this last relapse occurred last fall in November, or at least it became known in November of 2018. And at that point, the damage was too extensive. There wasn't going to be any more course of treatment to reverse the condition and salvage what I had left for kidney function. So at that point, I was put on a treatment basically to maintain my function for as long as we could.
Right.
And the goal would be to work towards transplantation. Mm-hmm. So I got listed in June this past summer with the University of Iowa hospitals there. And as soon as I got the go-ahead to let people know that they could start submitting their information to be screened for donation.
Seeing if it fit with your DNA, right?
Correct, yeah.
Yes.
Yep. So as soon as I got the okay to do that, I just posted something on Facebook, and a good friend of mine, within 15 minutes or so of me posting that post, sent me a text saying that he had submitted his information.
Right.
And as far as I know, he was the first one to put in.
Right.
And this friend of mine, we go back about 20 years. We played baseball together in junior college. He was my shortstop. And, the providence that really, grabs me in this is, the fact that we had lost contact after our last semester together,
right,
and had no contact for 8 years,
right,
and then we ran into each other again in 2006,
okay,
at the Deer Classic in Des Moines. We walked around the show that day,
right,
and rekindled our friendship. He ended up going elk hunting with me the next year, and we stayed in touch over the next few years. And
he's not related.
Nope,
he's state patrolman by profession.
Correct.
But no tie.
Just friend.
Just a friend. Yep. Go ahead.
Just
keep
a friend.
Going.
Yep. So we stayed in touch over the years. You know, we do things, once or twice a year and speak a couple times a month. I got the call. He sent me the text saying that he'd submitted his information along with, I couldn't even begin to count the number of people that stepped up for me in that regard. But it happened to be him. He gave me the call in September saying that University of Iowa had called him and that he was a perfect match and he was willing. So November 21st, the surgery was scheduled and the two of us went in, and he gave me the gift of life. So the doctors were ecstatic with the outcome. My friend had a very healthy guy, has lived a life, you know, free from any kind of substance abuse or substance use. He's never even done anything. So, the doctor came in that night after surgery and said that, he didn't know that he'd ever seen a better, healthier kidney in his life. And, and that he wouldn't normally tell this because the average life expectancy on a living donor is 12 to 15 years. That's the bar that they've set all along for me. So that's what I've always had in my mind going into this, that I was going to be looking at my early to mid 50s. I was going to be looking for another transplant more than likely. And the doctor came in that night and said he wouldn't normally tell a patient this, but he was confident enough in the condition of the kidney that my friend gave me, that if I did everything I was supposed to do, if I followed their direction to the letter, there's no reason he believed that that kidney wouldn't go 30 to 40 years.
Right.
So,
that'd be a miracle within itself.
Sure. Absolutely. Yeah.
Right.
Very unusual to get that kind of time out of one, but, like I said, my doctor, he spoke it with confidence. So that's what I'm leaning on.
And one of the things that finds me interesting, I'm going to look at this word righteousness, and we see this being that Simeon is described with a righteous life. And it says righteous living means that my actions and my behavior is morally right and just. That's amazing when you think of it. There's a lot of significance about a person and who they are that would be considered living a righteous life. Now, one of the things, Scott, that I've noticed about you, now you've worked in previously at a lot of people may know this or have been there at Route 65 Harley Davidson over in Indianola.
Yep.
But now you work at Ziegler Caterpillar up in Altoona, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, one thing I've noticed about you since I've ever known you, Scott, is these kind of. Now, and again, I'm not trying to, as people would say, I'm not trying to brush your back or give you this this puffed up thing. But one thing I've noticed about you is that I find significant as we talk about this passage of scripture of living righteous living, being morally by my actions and my behavior. And that's one of the things that really has drawn me to you as I witnessed you, and especially when you were at Harley Davidson at Route 65. You get a lot of tougher sides of people, a lot of distinctions of people would say, well, man, that's the farthest thing from it. But one of the things I've noticed about you and how you handle people is your behavior. And also, too, even though some of those rough sides of people would be coming out as they talk with you, I noticed not one time did you ever engage in that, but yet you didn't discriminate them either at the same time. And how did that come about in your character of how you live your life of living, trying to live a righteous life?
I don't know that I've ever been really conscious of living that righteous life other than, as I've, started to develop my relationship with the Lord over the last decade or so, you know, just being mindful of what where the direction he was pointing me and the things he was compelling me in. But I think as far as just in my day-to-day living, probably the key component, it's always been present, but I was able to put it into words and understand what it was probably about 15 to 20 years ago. And that was just caring about what you do, and who you do it for, and who you do it with. And I came to the realization that you can't be good at anything in this life, and I don't care whether it's a job or a hobby or, you know, being a husband or a father or a friend. Anything that you want to do well in this world, in this life, you've got to first care about it.
Right.
And if you don't care about it, you're not going to be any good at it.
Right.
And so, as far as how I behave and how I treat others, I care about people, and I care about, you know, whether it's at my job, I care about the job, and I care about the customers that are coming in to see me, or the relationships that I develop. I care.
Right.
And so when you care about it, you naturally want to do it the best you can. So that's just probably the key component to how I do just about anything I do. So
right. One of the things that as I was looking at and looking up righteousness, one thing that really struck me, if you go to the Psalms, and actually Psalm 1, I think really gives us a good description about what it means to live a righteous life. It says this: "Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join in with mockers. But they delight in the law of the Lord and meditate on it day and night. They are like trees planted by the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither. They prosper in all they do. But not the wicked. They are worthless chaff scattered by the wind. They will be condemned at the time of judgment. Sinners will have no place among the godly. For the Lord," I love verse 6. It says, "For the Lord watches over the path of the godly. But the path of the wicked leads straight to destruction." And that's one thing, Scott, this whole pathway, we talked about this pathway, this man that you had clear back in college playing baseball with, and all of a sudden there's years that pass, then all of a sudden you guys realign with each other you just meet each other at this elk bow hunting thing that you guys go out and do, and your relationship hooks back up again, and out of that, the relationship and the friendship comes a donor that gives you life. And mm-hmm. I think to me that just describes of continuing, because the Lord was watching over your life, Scott.
100%.
And he knew, and there's more yet. There's more time. So in order to give you more time, he placed the right donor.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that. And folks, I just hope you hear me on this morning. Righteous living is a day-by-day practice, not something that we go out and all of a sudden we say, well, I'm righteous. No, I don't think we ever do that. But what we try to do is we try to live in such a way that we do righteous living. We're going to fail in it. But what we do is we come back to the Lord. Because the other thing I noticed, too, about Simeon, and again, another characteristic about his life, Simeon was a devout man of God. Now, to be a devout means to be deeply dedicated to a belief or to a cause. Now, that's one thing I notice about you in your writing, Scott, is that you're devout in your writing. You will take the reader to a different level of depth in reading the scripture, to where I can read what it has what it said back in the time that it was written, but you have a way of taking that and then you bring it into nature. You bring it into life. You're one of your key things as you sign off. You always say this: pursuit of the trophy.
In full pursuit of the greatest trophy. Yeah.
In that, I love that. Yeah. Now it's more than the hunt. There, mm-hmm. The greatest trophy is
the Lord.
Is the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
But yet you take that and you're devout in your relationship with Jesus Christ. Share with us a little bit about what it means in your journey, even in the dedication of the time of the wait for the kidney, continuing the course of being devoted, however it played out. I remember when we talked right before you went into the train, because it's still, things can go wrong, things
sure.
can go south, and you shared with me you got things in order, and you even shared that with your mother.
Yeah.
But that was being out of devotion. That was out of devotion of wanting to fit. This might be the end,
mm-hmm.
that I want to finish well.
Mm-hmm.
I'm devoted to the Father. However it plays out,
yep.
that I'm devoted. You share with us a little bit about that experience.
That's not difficult for me.
Mm-hmm.
I've really only been pursuing a relationship and walking with the Lord for. About a decade now,
mm-hmm.
But I honestly cannot remember at any point in my life, even as a small child, not knowing that there was a God in heaven, that he sent his son to earth to die for me.
Right.
I might not have fully grasped what that meant at a young age, but I knew God and Jesus,
mm-hmm.
and I can't remember not knowing them. And I didn't grow up in a devout home.
Right.
My parents were believers, but we seldom went to church. We never read the Bible, mm-hmm. but I knew, and that knowing is a gift of the Spirit. That's my singularly greatest gift that the Lord has bestowed upon me, is my gift of faith.
Right.
It doesn't waver. I don't have to to clutch at it. I don't have to to stoke it and fan it. The Lord's done that for me. So
even in knowing that you may not have tomorrow.
Correct. Well, none of us are guaranteed tomorrow.
Absolutely. So, absolutely. But that's but when you're going through what you went through, that is really in your forefront.
It is, but again, I have eternal assurance. So if he wants me to continue on here and continue to do the work here that he set before me, then you know that's his choice and his decision for my life. If he's done with me here and he wants to call me home, then I mean that's great.
Right.
What do I got to worry about? You know. I mean that's ultimately where we all where we all want to end up anyway, right?
Right.
And so you know, when people would ask me questions like this, you know, how are you dealing with that? How are you holding on to your faith? And you know, how do you stay so positive and optimistic? Well, it's not hard when you know the end of the story.
Right.
And I know the end of the story. I've never doubted the end of the story.
Right.
So at no point did I get a sense throughout from when this started till now, I just never had a sense that it was drawing to an end.
Right. Right.
I prepared for the possibility, but I never got the sense that it was coming to an end. But again, I mean, what do I got to fear? I mean, I know where I'm going. So
right. That's kind of like as we look at this portion of scripture with Simeon. Simeon was the third thing about his life that we see in this small verses is that Simeon was eagerly waiting for the Messiah. Now, to be eagerly waiting, it means to be keen or ardent in desire of feeling or impatiently longing. And that describes this man. He was ardent in the way he did. He was waiting patiently for the Messiah. And that's one of the things that I've noticed about you is you in the journey of waiting, not only for the kidney, but in the waiting, you still had joy and praise. And that's what was really funny because we're gonna that's in his life. Because what does Simeon do after we get a glimpse of his life? He starts praising the Lord. It says in verse 29, it says, "The sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace, as you have promised. I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people. He is the light to reveal God to the nations, and he is the glory of your people of Israel." What we find in his life, we get a glimpse of what his character, of what he, who he is. Just a phenomenal thing, a short amount of sentence, but wow, man, describes character in Simeon. But the thing that I love about this next portion is the praise. He goes into a sense of praise. And I want you to share with this a little bit. Now, the kidney is in. Mm-hmm. And that's one thing I noticed about you, Scott, when I came and visited you at Iowa City. There was the same sense of praising God for what he had done in the midst of the wait. And you went right into the praise. Share with me, just give us a brief description about the praise that you felt after the transplant. It's successful. Everything's working. In a matter of a short amount of time, the kidney started working immediately.
It did.
Yes. Share with us about that.
Yeah. So as soon as I came out of recovery and really started getting my bearings back, it was perfectly evident to me that I was already feeling improvement.
Right.
Aside from the after effects of the surgery itself, I felt the best I'd felt in quite a few years.
Right.
Just hours after this new kidney had woke up. So,
right.
So that was a huge relief. And of course, I'm praising God in it. The praise, I mean, I was thankful. I was happy. I was joyful and in the hospital. But where it really started to pick up for me was... after I got home and I had some opportunity to really, you know, I'm sitting around doing nothing.
Right.
So I've got some time in my mind and I'm thinking about how God worked this out.
Right.
And, you know, it started with the obvious with my buddy, but just the lining him and I up.
Right.
It didn't just start with us playing baseball. It goes back to another friend of mine that offered me a kudos in school when we were like freshmen and sophomores, just offered me a candy bar.
Right.
And we ended up becoming best friends.
Right.
Well, he was friends with this guy before I was. I would have never associated with this guy had I not, you know, so when you start connecting the dots and you look at all the chess pieces that God moved around the board of my life
right.
to get me to where things would line up and people would match up and all the things necessary to get me to where I can sit here and talk to you guys on the radio.
Right.
It's mind-blowing. And so when I look at that in a big picture and what had to happen to make all this come about, specifically in this moment, praise God. That's all I can say is praise God.
I love that portion where you say connecting the pieces on the chessboard, because that's it really describes Simeon. Here he was being a devout man, lived a righteous living, and the Holy Spirit so moves him on the day when Jesus and Mary and Joseph happened to be at the temple that day, and the Holy Spirit moved him to go to the temple. So he goes, he sees the salvation, and then he gives a prophetic word. Now, I love this, and let's read this real quick, what he has to say to Mary. Jesus' parents were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, the baby's mother, "This child is destined to cause many in Israel to fall, but he will be the joy to many others. He has been sent as a sign from God, but many will oppose him. As a result, the deepest thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your very soul." Now, three things that were said in this prophecy that we'll see. We'll see a stone, we'll see a sign, and we'll see a sword. Now, by the stone, we're about out of time here, but the sign, just a brief description the stone is that Jesus is the cornerstone, and that the people of Israel would truly reject him. Matter of fact, it says in Psalm 118:22, it says, "The stone that the builders rejected has now become the cornerstone." And that's what Jesus has become, is the cornerstone of our lives. Right, Scott? I can see it in your life that Christ is your cornerstone. He is the foundation, the building stone of your life.
Yes.
And out of that came the result of what's happened in your life of a kidney. But then as we move to the second portion of the prophecy, the second portion is the sign that Jesus Christ is the miracle to mankind. Even the sign of his miraculous birth would be slandered. We see that even today. The people are unwilling to believe. They think of Christmas time as it's just a matter of happiness. It's no longer Merry Christmas, it's Happy Holidays.
Right.
And we have just lost sight of what it means. But Mary was given a prophetic word. And then the last one. Because I always think of this, Scott, as I think about the sword. The sword, which means that what would be pierced in her heart, she would remember that Jesus' birth in a manger, but would someday see him on a tree of a cross.
Mm-hmm.
And that always brings us all together about everything that's happened. And I think about the prophecy, because we've all been given prophecies over our life. And one thing, as I sit here this morning, and I think of prophecy over you, Scott, is I think there's more that's coming in your life because of what's happened out of your life, that the Holy Spirit is wanting to show you something, that he's given you a gift. And out of this gift is going to be something that's going to be birthed. I think not necessarily, I don't know if you're going to go into full-time ministry, but I believe that out of that gift, ministry is going to be birthed from you. And out of that ministry, about the things that are connecting the dots of your life, God has got something powerful in your life because you've stayed righteous, you've lived righteous living, devote. One of your strong points of character is your devout faith. You don't question, you don't rumble. And out of that, out of the waiting, God is going to implant in you something bigger and better than you've ever experienced of what you've had in your past. Even though the heartache that has come along, and we've all had heartache in life, but also too, out of a transplant of new life, God's going to birth in you new life that is going to, you're going to speak to people about what God has done. And that's going to be amazing, the work that he's doing. Scott, we are out of time.
And fast.
I'm so thankful that you got to share with us your story about the redeeming grace of Christ. Let's pray and then we'll close. Dear Jesus, again, I just want to thank you for this day. I thank you for my brother Scott as he's been given new life. Not only a new birth in Christ, but also new life to live longer due to a man that unknowingly, not even a family member, but you so moved the Holy Spirit to move to allow him to give up one of his kidneys to give to Scott so he would have life. I pray, Lord, as you instill in Scott some things that's going to happen in his life as you did in the birth of Christ, Help us all to know if we stay the course, we stay in righteous living, we stay in devotion to you, and we wait patiently for your return, Lord, we will live a life of well done. We praise you. In your name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Scott, thank you for being with us today. This is Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries.